Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Happy Friday. Hope you are all feeling and doing well. You are listening to the KDOC himself, a.k.a. the King of DC Media, William Powell. Welcome to Inside Acting. Let me remind you that Inside Acting is brought to you by DC Actors Examiner, a column you can find by Googling DC Actors Examiner. Tonight, I'm going to have on my pal, actor and talent agent and chef, Vincent Fiore, who will soon be starting up a new cooking show called The Wise Guy Kitchen. And along with Vincent, I will have on director Zach DiAppe. So we're just waiting for Mr. Fiore to call in. And it is a beautiful Friday night. I know we got that storm coming up, and hopefully we will survive the storm. And I know last night I had the opportunity to go to the premiere of the DMV Truth. My good friend Corey Williams actually was able to put on a premiere and had a lot of DMV directors and actors on there, and it was fantastic. So let me see. I see that Vincent has dialed in, so let's bring him in here. Hey, Vincent, how goes it, brother?
How's it going, William, my friend? How you been?
Good. Benvenuto, benvenuto.
Benvenuto, mio amigo.
Bene grazie, bene grazie. Cominciamo.
Everything's now, doing good, man. Everything's doing great. Thank you.
That's good, man. That's good. So now, I was looking at pictures of your set from the Wise Guy Kitchen, man, and all I could say is fantastic. I mean, that was a very classy set. Where is it?
Well, it was actually in Vienna, Virginia, at a place called the Lotus Building. It was beautifully set up. We had a great time. And we're actually in New York right now scouting some locations out here.
Okay, okay. So talk a little bit about the format of the show.
Well, the director is Shannon Lanier, who's a local director out of the D.C. Baltimore area. And what we decided to do is, if you take a little combination of Emeril, your typical cooking show, and add the Sopranos into it. So we basically made The Wise Guy Kitchen. It's a cooking show based in a social club with a series of crazy characters.
So now, I bet you've probably scoped out your competition shows like Bitchin' Kitchen.
Okay. Not really. I tend to shy away from that stuff. You know, that's Shannon's department. He'll take care of all of that, but you know, we do what we do best.
Okay. So, I mean, well, who came up with the whole concept?
Well, actually, it's a crazy story. I was in Austin, Texas, and I decided to cook a big Sunday dinner for a bunch of friends. And one of my friends walks in, and he sees this big table full of the typical Italian Sunday dinner. We had ravioli and sausage and meatball. And she yelled out, "Man, it smells like a wise guy's kitchen in here." And I said, "What'd you say?" And he got all nervous because he's not Italian. And he goes, "Oh, I didn't mean any disrespect." And I said, "No, man, that's genius." So right after dinner, we sat down and we started writing out The Wise Guy Kitchen. And that's how it started. So I owe it all to my friend named Carlos Jimenez in Austin, Texas.
Okay. So you're going to break him off a few dollars or hand him an envelope or something, or what?
I don't know about that, but I'll make him a dish of ravioli for sure.
Okay. So, man, who taught you to cook?
Well, you know, it was funny. You know, growing up in an Italian family, I think you kind of learn how to cook by the time you're 8 years old. You know, I watched my grandmother and I watched my mom cook and my aunts and uncles. And, you know, in an Italian family, the men like to do all the cooking, but the women don't let you in the kitchen. So once you get on your own, you're able to go out and start cooking on your own and having a great time with it. But, you know, look, like anybody, I love to cook, and more importantly, I love to eat.
Yeah, we all like to eat.
That's right, my friend.
Sometimes I eat a little too much. So what's your signature dish?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of everything. You know, last night, for example, We had about, you know, close to 100 people in the audience, and they really wanted traditional baked ziti and some meatballs, and we did a nice bruschetta that was a really good appetizer. But the unique thing about our show is at the end of the show, we actually feed everyone in the audience, so there's a big buffet waiting for them on the way out.
Oh, wow, that's pretty neat.
Well, you know, it's a shame to teach someone how to cook and then to let them taste what you're making. So you can't just pick on one person, so we feed them all.
Yeah, that would make me pretty mad if I smelled all that wonderful food and then couldn't eat it. That would make me mad.
Yeah, it does.
So what's your favorite wine?
Well, you know, I like the Classico Chianti, which is a really good one. It's one of my favorites, actually. It kind of goes with everything. It's an old-school Italian wine that a lot of the boys at the social club like, and it's a lot of fun.
Okay. You got some interference there in the back.
Yeah, well, we're at a location right now, so I apologize.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, so then after a meal, man, what's your favorite cigar?
Well, the Monte Cristo is always a good one. Unless you got some friends in Cuba that could bring in a couple of cigars, that would be great.
Now, I was reading Frank Vincent, the guy that was, he was on a lot of films and TV shows like Sopranos and Goodfellas. And in his book, he was talking about all these great restaurants up in New York City. And, man, it was just like, it was just making my mouth water, just like here, just reading what he had to say about those restaurants up there. So now, in your, I'm going to put you on the spot here. In your opinion, are there any restaurants down here in the D.C. area that rival some of those restaurants that you got up there?
Yeah, you know, one of my favorites is Casabella on Mulberry Street in Little Italy. That's always a good one. And, you know, a real classic one is Fogio's from the 1920s. They've been there. And they're also right off of Mulberry Street in Grand. Great places, old school Italian.
Okay, okay.
Casabella is like where you want to go when you want to impress the ladies. You know, they got the piano bar, and it's pretty quiet, really nice, very elegant.
Okay. Now, you brought up social clubs. Now, I think I have a vague idea what a social club is from reading and watching TV shows and movies, but are you at liberty to discuss about what are some of the things that go on in a social club?
Well, you're treading on a bit more than that, my friend, but I'll tell you, you know, when I was about 16 years old back in Brooklyn, in Bensonhurst section of Brooklyn, I had a lot of cousins and friends that were older than me, and what they had was a storefront that they rented out, made a little club out of it, a little kitchen, a little bar, a little living room set, and a place where the guys could chill, have a glass of wine, play some poker, smoke a cigar, and it was a place where they had a chill and their wife threw them out of the house. So that became the social club, and, you know, lucky for me, I've been at the same place since I was 16 years old, and, you know, we're going on a lot of years now, and it's called the Aquino Social Club in Brooklyn, New York.
Okay, okay. Yeah, it was another book I read about a veteran of The Sopranos, Tony Schirripa, and he had one.
Steve Schirripa,
I'm sorry. Steve Schirripa, and then he had, he was talking about the same thing. It's like all of his friends got together and, you know, just like you just described, you know, they put together a little, like, just a little club, you know, had like a little black and white TV. I think his had like a pool table on the whole deal.
Yeah, well, you start out with a black and white TV with a hanger on it so you can get reception. And the older you get, the more money you make. So you kind of upgrade to that flat screen with the big satellite dish so you can get all the horse races.
Okay, wow, man. So tell me about this show, The Italians.
I was just cast in a new series called The Italians. It was directed by a director out of France named Zach DiEppi. It's a great, great series. It's based on this Italian family called the Carluccis, and the lead character, Tony Carlucci, played by myself, is actually the don of this mob family, but he also has another family at home that he cares much about, his wife, who is from Puerto Rico, and he has kids. He's the only Italian don to marry outside of his race. So I played Tony Carlucci, and we're looking forward to it, and it should be a great show.
Okay, okay. So it was like a half-hour format, hour format, what?
No, that's going to be that's a feature film. It's not a 90-minute show.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay, yeah. So where are you filming that again?
Right now I'm in New York City. I'm at an audition for a new series called The Crew, and I just auditioned for Anthony Napolitano, a great director, and he just walked by me and gave me the okay that I'm allowed to be on the phone with you guys right now. I was in the middle of an audition.
Oh, okay. You're a busy man. That's what's up.
Yes, I've been blessed this month, man. It's been great. Thank you.
Yeah, actors are professional auditioners, man. You're just making it do what it do. I mean, that's what it's
about.
Well,
you know, I auditioned for the role as a supporting role, as a bodyguard for the Italians. And about a week or so, 2 weeks later, they called me to audition for the role of a supporting character named Skinny Linetti, who's a hitman. And I auditioned for that, and lucky enough, I got the call back that they wanted me to now be the main character, Tony Carlucci. So I'm very honored, I'm humbled of what's been happening in a very short period of time. In the last couple of months, things are kind of exploding a little bit. And like I said, you know, I just came in from D.C. to New York, scouting locations, and I just did an audition here. And the guy's waving to me again as he's walking by because we stopped the audition so I could talk to you. But I'm real lucky. I feel very honored to have this happen to me, and I feel very honored to be on your show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So let's back up a little bit, man, and talk about when you started acting.
Well, you know, it was kind of crazy. My daughter must have been, I don't know, about 10, 12 years old, maybe a little younger. She wanted to get involved in modeling and acting, and I would take her around for all these auditions, just like any other parent would. And it seemed that the more auditions I went on, the more I heard from the casting directors, "Are you an actor?" And I always said, "No, I'm not. I'm just a parent taking my kid here." And, "You need to be on TV, man. You need to be on TV. You got, you know, I could put you in the movies." And I really, at the time, wasn't interested. But one day I heard it one too many times. And what happened was they were doing a commercial for a private school, a medical school. And there was a bunch of kids there and a bunch of parents there, you know, waiting for auditions. And the guy comes out and he said, "You're my new school director." And the next thing I know, they cast me in the commercial. From there, I started working with an agent, and the rest is history. Then I just kept going after it.
So what's your approach to acting?
Well, you know, I just try to engage the character, find a little bit more about the character. You know, if it's playing the role of a mob boss, for example, try to become that mob boss and really try to understand what he's all about. You know, it's not just about running up there screaming and hollering and acting like a tough guy, but what's his inner spirit? What's it all about? Who is he really? You know, and I'm having the pleasure now of working on a film with Shannon Lanier called Smite the Wicked, and it is a crime thriller that I play a detective. So I actually started watching police drama shows, detective shows, crime shows, to try to get into the role of a detective. So I guess it's trying to learn more and more about the character that you play.
So are you finding yourself getting typecast?
No, you know, a good friend of mine, Johnny Alonzo, told me it's better to be typecast and get a check than to try to do everything and not get paid. So, no, I don't really think so. You know, I've done a couple of mob movies. You know, I'm going to be playing the detective for Shannon. I just auditioned for another role here. So, look, you know, I'm a pretty big guy. I got that look. So, you know, if they want to make me the next Vinny Pastore or the next Steve Sirippa, it'll be an honor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. So, now, talk a little bit about your training. Do you still train?
Well, actually, just like everybody else, I try to go to as many workshops as possible. And actually, I put in a call this week. I'm trying to set up a time where I can go to Studio Dante, which is actually owned by Michael Imperioli and his wife, Victoria.
Uh-huh.
Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos.
Yeah.
Great actor, and they have some great instructors there. And I'm just trying to put it in my schedule to start going there as well.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's what's up. Yeah, you got to keep training. You got to keep your instrument sharp at all times.
You really got to keep it sharp. Every single day, and you know, I feel like I'm very lucky to be able to be around great people. You know, Shannon Lanier, Connie Lamont, who is a local casting director in D.C., has been a great help. Johnny Alonzo called me the other night at midnight to give me a lot of support over the phone. Joe D'Onofrio from Goodfellas and Bronx Tale. I was on the phone with him the other day, and, you know, one thing he told me is, you know, just keep following your dream, never give up. And it doesn't matter, you know, whether you're young or old, we all have the same dream of making it, and their advice was to just keep going for it. So I'm going to take their advice, and I'm going to keep going for it.
Yeah, you got to keep going for it. Now, did you ever get a chance to do anything at all with The Sopranos?
No, actually, it's a funny story, but years ago, someone stopped me in the street and asked me if I was an actor. I said no, and they said something about Sopranos, and I thought they were talking about opera singers, and I said, no, I'm not interested, and they kept walking away, and the next thing I know, I saw on TV, and I wanted to keep myself in the head.
Oh, man. Wow. Yeah, that was, I imagine that anybody that lives anywhere near, I guess, New Jersey and up that way and New York City, they probably had a lot of extras that they pulled from those surrounding areas there.
They do, actually. You know, there was a movie years ago with Steven Seagal, Out for Justice.
Uh-huh.
That had so many guys that I knew from the neighborhood that played different roles in that movie. A lot of them were supporting or extras. So, yeah, you know, when they do shows like that, you know, what better place to find everybody who's, you know, right in your own backyard?
Yeah. Yeah, Steve Sciarrippa had a funny story in his book. He was talking about his friend Joe Ganascola, who played Vito Spadafore. And what Joe would do, he would impersonate agents. He would go, this is back before, like, the internet was, like, really widespread. He would find out where an agent lived out in L.A., and then he would go break into the guy's mailbox and get, like, the breakdown. And then he'd, like, send the breakdown to his friends and all the things. I mean, it's, like, it's amazing the lengths people will go to follow their dreams. You know, it's, like,
I thought that was a fascinating story. I wish I
knew
somebody like that right now.
Huh?
I said, I wish I knew someone like that right now.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So now, what's your favorite medium to act in? Would you think it'd be film or TV?
Well, you know, I like both. You know, I'm getting ready to do the TV series now, so that's going to be something different. You know, film, it's really, you know, action, cut, and do it over again, so you have a little time to work with. But I really have a lot of respect for actors that are in theater on the stage. I don't know if I can handle that, but it's really something to see them do it night after night after night. But, you know, I think they really, really put a lot of heart and soul into what they do, and they deserve a lot of respect. You know, me right now, I'm doing films, and I'm happy with
it. Yeah, there's some people that are strictly film, and then some people are strictly stage, you know. And I mean, personally, I started out on stage, and to this day, stage is really probably my favorite medium, but it's probably the most demanding. It's a very demanding mistress, the stage. It just takes... It takes every bit of you, and it's like it's just all consuming. It just takes
That's right, absolutely.
Everything out of you, yeah. Yeah.
I saw a play, a musical actually, recently at the Kennedy Center called Memphis. And at the end of the show, when the cast was taking their bow, and I was sitting in the first row, and I could see the tears in their eyes when the audience gave them a standing ovation. And it just gave me the chills, man, to see somebody who trained so hard to get where they are and to do that and get that kind of response and be humbled by it was truly amazing.
Yeah, I saw Invisible Man the other night at Studio Theater, and that was... Wow, that just blew me away. It was just amazing. It was just absolutely amazing. I mean, it's And the lead actor was just, I mean, the whole cast, really, but it was just, I mean, it's just it's a level above what I'm capable of at this point. I mean, it's just, it's a real gift. It's a real gift. I think you're kind of made that way. I think really, I mean, that kind of greatness, you know, you're really made that way.
100%.
Talk about a little bit about, so now before you were an actor, you were, a nightclub owner, restaurant owner? What were you primarily doing before you were an actor?
Well, I grew up in Brooklyn, and, you know, we had family and friends that were in the nightclub business, the restaurant business, so I was kind of raised in it. You know, I grew up in the restaurant business. As I got old enough to walk into a nightclub, I started running a couple of nightclubs in the neighborhood. Did a lot of stuff, you know, with the guys that I grew up with. They kind of look out for each other, so that was pretty cool.
Okay. So now you're involved with, you're actually a talent agent. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, we started a talent agency, and what happened was because of my daughter, I could take her around. I was watching what other people were doing, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to give this a try. And I started doing it. Did pretty well at it, you know, helped a lot of people. And what happened was, you know, I decided at a point where I wanted to pursue the acting more and more that I had less time to really devote to the talent agency business. So I decided basically to only work with a few people right now. But my goal is probably after the new year to reinvent the agency again, get a couple of people involved in it, and really have that presence between D.C. and New York City.
Okay. Yeah, so, now what brought you down here to D.C.?
Well, it's a long story, but I found out after 18 years of being married that I was now single. So I said, okay, I decided to make a run for it and get closer to New York as possible, if not back to Brooklyn. And I had some friends in the D.C., Virginia area, and I decided to come down for about, you know, I said, I'll give it 3 to 6 months and see if I like it. And well, it's been a year now, so I decided to stay.
Okay. Let's switch gears a little bit. Have you thought about writing any scripts or directing?
You know, I have one that I've been working on, and Shannon Lanier actually has it. He's critiquing it, trying to get it a little better. And it's basically the story of two brothers, one who is a tough guy from Brooklyn, and the other decided to leave the family and over an argument. And 5 years later, the brother finds out that the brother that left became an undercover cop in Dallas, Texas. So, and then it becomes this whole big game with drug dealers and crime bosses and the police. It's pretty cool, actually.
Okay. So it seems like a lot of the stuff you do is like it's centered around crime. You're either on one side of the law or the other.
Well, you know what? I grew up in a neighborhood where, you know, that's what it was. Everybody, you know, from the neighborhood after high school, they either became wise guys or police officers.
Well, hey, let's talk about culture a little bit. Now, New York City, in your opinion, is there something about those New York City that this has? I mean, man, what creates that energy? I went up there to TVI Studios in Times Square, and, man, it's just you could just feel the energy. It's just like I walked past this little small pizzeria, and it was like a 30-person line going out this small pizzeria about the size of your bathroom. I mean, it's like all the people. I mean, what is it about New York? Where does that energy come from?
I think it has a lot to do with attitude. You know, there's people that come here from all over the world. New York is obviously a very popular place. It's known all over the world. But I also think it has a lot to do with attitude, you know. It's a city that never sleeps, as they say, 24/7, you know. I remember going out to nightclubs back in the day of Studio 54, if you remember those days.
Uh-huh.
It was 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and you can go down to Chinatown and get Chinese food. So I think a lot of it is just what people expect of it. And, you know, as business owners, restaurant owners, they're building a product, you know. And if you look at the average restaurant today, it's just like a Broadway show. So they're getting ready for us the way we're getting ready for them.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's just always fascinated me, and so now that segues into another question. Do you think that energy is that really helped you in the acting business?
Yeah, I think it does. I think it's the way I was raised. You know, I was always raised to be a positive person, to go after my dreams. I worked hard since I was a kid. I was given a lot of trust by people that were a lot older than me to run businesses. So I think it gave me a real confidence level where, you know, I could walk on stage like I did last week, you know, with 100 people there and not feel intimidated at all and just do my thing.
Yeah, I mean, you just got to have that determination and not really back down. I mean, that's one thing. That's definitely something you see in New York. You don't see people backing down.
That's right. You don't back down. You're raised at a very young age to not back down. You know, growing up in Brooklyn, we had a clubhouse. My cousin, he rest in peace. He passed away last year. But if you remember the movie Annie Hall with Woody Allen directed, my cousin had a house underneath a very famous roller coaster in Coney Island called the Thunderbolt. It was called the Thunderbolt. And that house right underneath this roller coaster was our clubhouse for 25 years.
Uh-huh.
So we had a really good time with it. And, you know, being on the Italian side and then going to Coney Island back and forth, you tend to develop a thick skin and a lot of air about you, if you will.
Uh-huh. That's right. That is right.
But yeah,
go
back down.
No, you can't do that. You can't do that. So now let's talk a little bit about going into popular culture a little bit. You know, I think of the great, I guess, movies that have to do with people who are a little bit more organized than the government wants them to be organized. Certain organizations out there that are... Oh, let us say they have this thing of theirs, and there's a lot of famous movies about such organizations, like Godfather, the Goodfellas,
Casino.
So many. Casino. I mean Mean Streets. What are some of your favorite?
Well, you know, I think Goodfellas is probably on the top of the list. I think just the way it was portrayed, that friendship, there was a lot of truth behind Goodfellas. I think it was a well-done movie. You know, The Godfather is a classic. You know, love that. I actually like the second one better than the first one. You know, Casino, I watched it actually 2 nights ago. Casino was a great movie. It showed, you know, not only about the organization, but also the friendship involved. You know, there's a really, really good movie that's probably 30 years old now. It's with Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts when he first started out, called The Pope of Greenwich Village.
Mm.
If you haven't seen it, I suggest you get it, because I don't think there's a better movie that shows the friendship between two guys, what we would call knockaround guys that grew up in New York City and tried to make money any way they could. So it's a really great film.
Hmm. I've heard a lot about that film. I've never seen it.
It's one of my favorites. I probably saw it about 50 times.
Huh. Yeah, and then, you know, there was a movie I saw, what was it, Leonardo DiCaprio, The Basketball Diaries. I know there were a lot of veterans from The Sopranos were in that one. That was a pretty good movie.
And I think the other one, The Departed, was pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, though that was set up in Boston. It was... had some of the same dynamics, but that was also an excellent film.
It was.
So what's some of the things, in your opinion, that separate a good actor from a great actor?
Oh, wow. I don't even think I'm on that level to answer that question.
But just as a viewer.
As a viewer, you know, one of my favorite actors is Denzel Washington. I think he's absolutely incredible. When he does a role, he really goes all out with it. No matter what he does, I like. You know, I watched the movie the other night, Dark Shadows, with Johnny Depp, and it's amazing to see how he can go from a role in The Tourist with Angelina Jolie, for example, and the next thing you know, he's playing a vampire. It's just incredible how he does it. And, you know, if I had one wish, I would say, you know, to be able to sit down with these guys and just pick their brain on how they do it, because it really is amazing.
Yeah, they just have a different motor. They just have a different motor, and they just like not mortal.
Yeah,
I mean, they started out mortal, but at one point I guess they were mortal, but now they're just like there, you know.
They're up. I watched the movie last week, Glory, with Denzel Washington, and it was really a great movie, and he was great in the movie. And then a few nights ago, I watched American Gangster, and it's like, wow, man, how did this guy go from one role to the next? And, you know, you just believe him so much in what he does. It's really is a gift.
Yeah, it's really a gift. I mean, but it's not just a gift, but it's also putting in the work. You just got to put in the work and the reps and do it when it doesn't feel good to do it. I mean, Denzel was talking about, you know, if you really want to be an actor, I mean, he would see people tell him, say, well, I want to be an actor, but then they wouldn't want to put in the 16-hour days.
That's exactly right.
They'd be complaining about it's cold out here, you know? They're complaining about all this stuff.
Yeah, you know, in this business, one of the things I've learned is the old saying, hurry up and wait. So you're always hurrying somewhere and then waiting. So, but you know what? We're blessed to have the opportunity to even do that. So, to do something that you enjoy doing every day, you know, even with yourself on the radio. You know, my grandfather used to tell me that if you wake up every morning and say, oh, man, I got to go to work, you have a job. If you wake up every morning and say, man, I can't wait to get to where I got to get, then you got a career. And that's what it's all about. It's building a career for yourself in something that you truly like to do.
That's right. I mean, it's now I'm reminded of a story about, you've probably heard it before, but there were, what is it, two bricklayers, and then somebody asked the one bricklayer what he thought he was, and one said, well, I'm a bricklayer, and then the other guy was saying, well, and I'm building God's house, I'm building a church. I mean, it's a lot of it is attitude, you know, the attitude that you bring to something.
That's exactly right. It's all it is attitude and being able to, you know, believe enough in yourself. You know, there's guys out there that are great, great chefs, but they consider themselves cooks, you know. So it's basically taking it to the next level to where you want to be. And, you know, one thing I teach my kids as well, you know, regardless of what it is you pursue in life, don't do it 99%. You have to do it 100%. And that's the only way to make yourself successful.
That's right. That's absolutely right. So let's step back a little bit. Talk about the old country. You ever get back to Italy?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we have family still there in Sicily, and Naples and Rome. It's really, you know, I remember I was there about 10 years ago, probably the last time I went. And I remember, you know, when the plane landed and I walked down and I saw all my relatives waiting for me, and it just felt something inside. And, you know, I got all teary-eyed and everything, a combination of seeing them, but a combination of knowing, you know, well, this is where my roots are, man. This is where my parents came from and my grandparents came from and generations before them. And it was truly an amazing experience.
Yeah, I've always wanted to go over there, like especially Rome. I mean,
I mean, Rome is beautiful. You know, I went to Sicily, and you walk through these little towns, and it was funny because my cousin said, you know, this is my cousin Vincent from America, and the next thing you know, they try to get me married within 24 hours.
Oh, my goodness.
But they do have some beautiful women there, that's for sure.
Wow. Speaking of women, let's step into culture a little bit. It's one of the things I read in, what was it, Sharippa's book, he was talking about this whole business about a lot of Italian guys, there's this whole thing where it's like, especially over there in Italy, they'll be grown and they'll have like, you'll have a grown guy, and he'll have a house and maybe even a family like down the street, and then right down the street is his mom, and he like goes back to his mom and he goes back to his back home to eat. And I mean, what's that all about?
Well, I tell you, that's funny because, you know, Italian guys, you know, it's crazy. We have a lot of friends of different nationalities. And when they're 18, 19, 20 years old, they can't wait to leave the house. And as an Italian, you know, we never want to leave. Why should we? Our clothes are folded and pressed, waiting for us to get up the next morning. There's always food in the refrigerator. Mom is always asking if you're hungry. You know, who wants to leave? So it's funny you said that because when I got married 18 years ago, we actually got a house around the corner from my mother's house. And my wife knew we didn't know how to cook. So every night when I came home from work, I stopped at my mother's house first. I would tell my wife I'd get home. I said, I'd be home about 6:30. But I was really home at 5:30. And I went to my mom's house, and I ate like crazy. And then when I went to my house, I only picked a little bit.
Oh, wow.
I think eventually I gained a lot of weight because I had to eat two dinners, because if not, I was getting an argument.
Wow, man.
You know,
wow.
A funny thing about, you know, growing up in a family with an Italian mom, if, I don't know, in Baltimore or Philly, I guess some of those places, probably just like Brooklyn, you have what they call a basement in your house. So upstairs is like a museum. You know, my mom had the living room set with plastic covers on it, and we weren't allowed to sit on it. We had to go in the basement to watch TV. We had to eat in the TV. I don't think she used her kitchen in 35 years upstairs because you weren't allowed. It was only for company.
Yep. Well, some of the black families in the South, I think they had some of the same things. You know, they had the plastic on the sofa. I never quite understood that. You have that like soap place room that like, you know, like nobody goes in it. Like that. I always thought that was really, really strange.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Wow, man. So we're running up on, oh, we got plenty of time. We got about a good six minutes left. So let's talk a little bit more about the future of the show. I mean, what's the plan? Is it syndication? Is it web? I mean, what?
Yeah, well, like I said, we filmed the pilot last night. We are scheduled to go to three more locations within the next 2 months, filming three more episodes. Shannon Lanier, the director, has been in talks with distribution companies, and the last I heard as of this morning was it may go as a web series or it may go directly to one of the networks. So we have our fingers crossed. It's not my department. I just show up and do my thing. Shannon and the rest of the guys do what they need to do to get it out there, but I'm excited either way.
Yeah, man, sometimes it's talent. I mean, that's all you can do. You just show up and you just do your part.
So one of the things I'm really excited about is we're actually filming an episode in Brooklyn and Staten Island, New York, where I'm actually going to go to the neighborhood shops that I grew up in shopping. So we're going to go buy the mozzarella and the ricotta and the Italian bread and the cannoli, and we're going to meet the shop owners, and then we're going to take everything back and start cooking away.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we're going back to my neighborhood.
Wow. Bensonhurst,
Brooklyn. Now, yeah. Now, you know, it's funny because everybody I grew up with in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, we all moved to Staten Island. So, you know, to the average American, it's Staten Island. To all of us, being that we've been there for so long, it's Staten, Italy. Because you think you're in Italy when you go there. They took off the New York flag and put the Italian one up.
You conquered that island.
One of the things that that brings back a lot of memories to me, that Verrazano Bridge that goes from Brooklyn into Staten Island in 1964. My dad actually worked, helped build that bridge, like so many others that came here from other countries. And we have a picture of him sitting on the very, very top of that Verrazano Bridge where that red light, the beam is, with nothing underneath. It was just the pillars. And he's sitting up there having a salami sandwich and a Budweiser.
He's a brave man.
I wouldn't go in an elevator if it's more than six stories.
Wow, he's a brave man. That puts me in mind of the scene from Saturday Night Fever, man. That was amazing. But speaking of Saturday Night Fever, earlier you mentioned Studio 54. Were you a hoofer back in the day, man? Or you could get down or what?
Well, I'll tell you something. The Saturday Night Fever, the club that they filmed at, with John Travolta, actually was two blocks from my house. So we would hang out there every weekend. You know, we tried to get in, and even if we didn't have ID to get in, a lot of the bouncers knew us, so they let us in anyway. And we were doing that disco out there on that lit up dance floor. It was pretty fun, actually. I've been known to cut the rug a little bit.
Okay. Probably not as good as Tony Manero, but hey.
No, I wouldn't go that far, but I could throw down a moon tarantella, that's for sure.
Yeah, I've heard all kinds of stories about the filming of that the great film. I mean, I heard there were some individuals that had some controlling interests of that club, and they had, let's say they had some negotiations with the director. And about financial compensation for using the club. So there's a lot of stories about what they had to go through to film there and everything.
Well, the name of that club was 2001 Odyssey, was the name of that club. And it later became a club called L'Amour, which one of the movies that Steven Seagal was in, Out for Justice, was actually filmed in there now. So it's called L'Amour now.
Oh, okay. So we're down to about 3 minutes. So I got two more things to throw out there. Talk about any celebrities you've worked with, and then just throw out there your website, anything else you want to throw out.
Well, I don't know about working with celebrities, but I know a lot of people in the industry that have been real nice to me. Joe DiMaggio, obviously, Johnny Alonso, some really good people. But I do remember in New York City, Danny Aiello eating in a restaurant one day, and he actually said that he didn't start acting until he was like 40 years old. And since then, he's made countless movies and won countless awards. And that anybody starting in this business, regardless of their age or how young or how old, if he can do it, anybody can do it. And that really stuck to me when I heard him say that. So I think it's really a good thing that a lot of these more experienced actors, these so-called celebrities, if you will, they really are in themselves humbled enough to talk to guys like me and so many others out there that are just trying to make it and be able to say that to us and give us encouraging words. I think it means more than we can ever pay at any workshop or any seminar, but to hear it from somebody already doing it, you can't put a value on that.
Oh, no, you can't. Yeah, so throw your websites out there and your – this is your time to plug.
All right, well, the Wise Guy Kitchen, obviously, www.thewiseguykitchen.com. And my personal website that has all my pictures and bio and all of that is www.vincentfiori.starup.com.
All right, so I'll just say, man, grazie di essere venuto allo show.
I love your Italian, brother, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you. You're a good friend. I am humbled by the invitation and honored. I really appreciate you having me on. I look forward to being on the show again, and let's get together for a cannoli one of these days.
Sure. Grazie mille. Grazie mille.
Grazie.
I agree with everything you just said, man.
Okay. Good night, brother. Good night.
Okay, man. Ciao, brother.
Bye-bye.
All right. And I just want to say, this is your host saying to be cool and stay hungry. Or in other words, essere fresco e rimanere affamate.